ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Rotatoes, how are you doing? It's Friday, which means we are back with another episode of the podcast. It's time for Arc 1, Episode 6, Part 1. And it's a very special time of year, and I know you're thinking, wait, we've just had the holidays. This is the beginning of January. What could possibly be special about the beginning of January? It's that my birthday is in 2 days. At the time of recording, or sort of you listening to this, not the time of me recording this, because I'm recording this before then, but this will be coming out just 2 days before my birthday. So no need to wish me happy birthday or anything. I just thought I would let you know and share that with you. Very exciting stuff. Over on our Patreon, we are currently releasing our very much not holiday arc over there, GM'd by the wonderful Edward Spence. And we've got some incredible plans for future arcs. And if you're enjoying this one, then you may want to keep your eyes glued to the Patreon and check that out, because there's going to be some news dropping soon about what we're going to be doing for our fourth arc. Can't believe I'm already saying fourth arc in Access. That is just absolutely wild and amazing. Something that I was plugging quite a lot over the holidays, which I want to just reiterate over here on the public feed, is just to say that over on Patreon, you have the option, there is the option to gift subscriptions. Whether that is the Rotating Heroes podcast or any other creator that you're enjoying, please consider doing so. Patreon is one of the best ways to support artists and creatives in the work they're doing, and has become a key part of the sort of survival of many shows just like Rotating Heroes. And doing things like just gifting a subscription for, you know, a month, 2 months, you know, if you're struggling for presents or what to give someone, the gift of creativity, you know, it's not only a gift to the creator, it's also a gift to whomever it is that might be enjoying said thing. And you never know, you know, they might return in kind with a gift, and you might discover a new show and a new creator that you enjoy. So, you know, let's keep this thing this thing bubbling along. Anyway, that's enough of me talking. I will hand over to past me. Let's get into it.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Yippee-i-yo, and welcome back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast, everybody. I am Jasper William Cartwright, and if you want to find out what the hell that was about, you got to check out last week's arc book. I am here with the rotators of the first arc of Campaign 2, and they are John Mackey.
Hello, this is me.
Confidence personified. George Primavera.
Yippee-i-yo, it's George Primavera. What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, he's leaning into it now. There we go. Good, good, good. He's accepted his fate.
I should have said yippee-i-yo.
You obviously should. It was right there, John. And dare I say, Aaron Keefe.
Yippee-i-yo and good morning, Jasper.
There it is. There it is. Thank you so much for greeting me the way I want to be greeted nowadays, with a crisp yippee-i-yo.
And a yippee-i-yo to you.
Tip your bowler cap.
Yeah. Tell your mother I say yippee-i-yo.
I put some extra yip on it. Yeah. Man, wild. Okay. Well, we are here to do episode 6 of this arc, guys. Wow. Episode 6. Things are getting pretty tense, pretty scary. So why don't we go ahead and just get straight into this?
Oh, boy.
Good luck, everyone.
Good luck. Let's all hold hands.
Good luck, everybody.
Good luck, everybody. Squeeze, squeeze. Release.
Deep Space Recap.
Ah, sharpen your fangs and steady your nerves, my Midnight Marauders, because Tundra and the Milk Snakes just traded back alley chaos for high stakes diplomacy on a mist slicked bridge. Back in the Trinity of Scale Chapel, which our crew fled to when they made Lucian Morrow take a 30-minute power break, they staged the clumsiest hostage grab this side of the nebula. They clocked a Yuan Ti priest, and Ali started suplexing Lucian Morrow as they tied up their Dragonborn courier like a gift-wrapped complaint letter. Under threat of Tundra's Daggerpoint manicure, Lucian spilled the tea. The Crimson Strand bought the Foid Bomb and used it as a bargaining chip to boot the feral glass eaters from Giantsbane. But neither side knows or cares how many thousands might die in the crossfire. Worse, our heroes may have iced one of the glass eater zealots in the sewers, so vengeance is now firmly on the menu. Now, we cut to this mist-soaked bridge. Shaddy hobbles across clutching a nuke crate like last night's bad curry, and Ali has bolted to answer a call from his parole officer. Then out of the fog stalks a 7-foot glass-eater envoy with a scythe for an arm, scales on his throat and a grin full of razor glass teeth, demanding the box and promising a one-way ticket to his vampiric citadel. Shaddy, powered by equal parts family trauma and improv bravado, flashed his Turlet access card and bluffed a partnership with the Blood Cult, earning a handshake that sealed in swirling crimson magic. So where do we stand? A vampire civil war is brewing underground, and the Shadesmar cruise liner is still marked for annihilation. Our trio has just sworn, blood bond and all, to aid a scythe-armed pirate in the creation of something he calls the Citadel. I'm sure it's fine. Our group is absolutely keeping it together, and there is absolutely nothing that could go wrong as they head into the vampiric catacombs underneath Anvil. Maybe just throw a prayer out for our trio, just before you go to bed tonight. Anyway, let's look to the stars, friends, and hopefully not what's underneath us. I'm gonna go and, you know, check my bed. We see three figures through the fog, holding hands, saying yippee-i-yo.
Okay.
I had no choice, okay, John?
Yeah.
Low under our breath.
Yippee-i-yo. Yippee-i-yo.
Slightly behind these three figures walks a very nervous dragonborn, a very well-dressed and nervous dragonborn, who kind of stares around as... just in front of you, this 7-foot-tall, strange and mysterious figure that you had met on this bridge is now leading you to the vampiric catacombs, the place where the glass eaters call home. As you get towards the end of this bridge, I think that is when you realize that through the gloom, you realize just how not alone you are, as just eyes seem to pierce through the dense fog, staring at you. Hundreds of pairs of eyes just watching as you slowly walk down a well-trodden path on this side, this dark side of Anvil. And after not too long, you find yourselves on a slope, on a decline. And because there is no sun in this place, it's hard for you to know exactly when you went underground. But you now find yourselves in these dense, large tunnels. The walls themselves seem to glow really faintly. It's this sort of slightly rusted, auburn metallic sheen to the walls. As you carry on walking further and further down, twisting left, right, just sort of following this strange figure's lead. Behind you, the unmistakable sound of footsteps. Hundreds of footsteps just following you. You do notice, strangely, some of these tunnels seem to be marked with sort of red paint, almost. And you find yourselves in one such tunnel when the tall figure turns round, looks at you, eyes sort of piercing straight at you, and says, to the wall, now. And you see that he goes and kind of flattens himself into like a little recess in the wall. Do you all do the same?
Without question. Immediately, yeah. And obediently. I'm so scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to die on any hills. I'm going to do the same.
As you all flatten and find yourself into like a kind of a nook or like a crevice in the wall that's naturally appearing, you feel first a wave of heat, and then almost as if rising from the core of the planet itself, this billowing fire rips past all three of you like a tornado of flame just down this corridor. And as quickly as it appears, it's gone, leaving behind it now the walls glowing intensely, as if the sun itself had now been shone into this cave. And I think this is when you realize, those of you especially who have more experience on Anvil, that the entirety of the walls of these tunnels is made up of andium, which is a metal which absorbs energy and sort of houses that energy. And now they are literally humming with power. You see, as this figure steps back out again, he takes this large scythe and he kind of runs it down the sort of wall of metal. That part of the wall suddenly goes dim, as suddenly the scythe now is just glowing bright red. And he sort of turns round to the three of you, or four of you again, and says,
come, a little bit further, and you shall see it.
And just continues walking further down.
Shaddy just like swipes his hand down the wall, like just to see it.
Shaddy, roll me a constitution saving throw.
Oh, Jesus. Uh-oh. That would be an 8.
Oh my god.
Not a 1.
Yeah, not a 1.
You're going to take 6 points of fire damage as you run your hand down the walls.
You touched a hot pipe, dude.
This hit the walls quite literally at like boiling points. Like you feel your skin and flesh. In fact, it's like touching a halogen lamp. Parts of your skin just stay on the wall.
Oh no! Oh. Don't say that. Ooh. No.
Shaddy just like screams bloody murder. It's like the most pain he's ever been. Just like, ah, what the fuck?
This figure turns around.
Silence. To shout in this place is to disrespect the dead.
That's my bad. That's my bad.
Can Tundra sort of rip off part of, like, the end of her shirt and wrap it around his hand?
Hmm?
So it doesn't become, like, a liability?
Absolutely. Tundra, as you rip off part of the shirt, you look down and you notice that one of your swords, the sword that used to belong to someone else, seems to be rippling, almost as if tiny fibers on the surface of the sword are sort of standing on end for a second, like in little waves, kind of currents down the sword. You've seen it do this before. Like, the sword sometimes will pick up on if you're experiencing extreme emotion, it will sort of almost try to, like, parrot the emotion. So you've seen this before, but this is different. This isn't parroting one of your emotions. This is almost as if it's having a feeling all to itself.
Could it be parroting someone else's emotions, or is it sort of operating on its own? Can I tell the difference?
I think for all you know, it's just operating on its own. It's definitely feasible that it could be parroting someone else's emotions, but it definitely, whatever's happening is that it's happening kind of independently, essentially. Like, you're not affecting the sword currently.
Okay.
And I think that you feel there's a nervousness to the sword. Like, the way that it kind of shakes, and I think as you put your hand on the hilt, there's probably a moment where the sword calms a little. Not a lot, it doesn't sort of completely still, but, like, you feel the sword kind of feel comforted by your touch.
Can I, while I'm holding onto the sword, do, like, an investigation check to see if there's anything I can see or hear
that might be causing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Roll me investigation.
Perfect. So I rolled a 4 and then -1 is 3. So that's good.
Perfect.
As you stand there, it really is a really good job that you did this, because you actually can think of 72 potential reasons as to why the sword might be acting this way, but which one of those 72 reasons it is, you truly have no idea.
No idea. Okay.
So this figure continues walking, and I'm assuming you sort of follow behind. I think it is at this point that you start to see there is a few of those footsteps kind of come into view. And I think you see a real mix of figures. Some seem sort of stooped and sort of wild, bedraggled. Others seem much more kind of upright and put together. But they all seem to follow with the same level of, like, intensity and purpose. And you notice that, like, as you stop or slow down, or there's a moment where the leader sort of, you know, slows to, you know, make sure you catch up, they slow, almost like watching a shoal of fish rather than watching a collection of humanoids. It's strange to sort of see a collection of humanoids with such synchronicity. Not perfect by any means, but still enough for it to be obviously noticeable without you having to do, you know, paying too much attention.
I'm going to turn to Shaddy really quick and take out my healer's kit as we're walking. And I'm going to use a utilize action and expend one use of the healer's kit to allow him to expend a hit dice.
Oh, nice.
And then they get whatever the equivalent of the number rolled plus 3.
Oh, great. So, Shadi, your hit dice is a D8?
That's really, really kind of you.
He's a barbarian, right?
Yeah.
It's a D12.
Oh, D12. Sorry, yeah, D12 then, yeah.
And that's a 9 that I rolled, folks.
Nice.
So he gets 12 hit points back. So I put a bandage on his hand. I throw some salve in it. It's like Ollie's done this 100 times before when he was actually acting as a battle medic. And says, okay, just keep that there. Now there's something I have to tell you. And then I'm going to turn around and tell it to Tundra.
There's something I need to tell you too.
Okay. Why don't I go first?
Okay.
I think we're in way over our head. I am regretting every decision we've made to get to this point, and I'm freaking out.
I hear you.
If one more scary thing happens, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to be of no help to anyone. I feel myself on the absolute precipice of madness.
Okay.
For the situation that we've gotten ourselves into, you're nodding, but I don't think you're fully grasping.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you. Yeah.
I'm going to turn around and tell this to Tundra after you tell me your thing.
Okay. But I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Don't touch the walls. They are hot as hell.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Shaddy. Tundra.
What's up?
Okay. I'm going to sum up what I just said to Shaddy.
Before you tell me anything, I feel like I am on the precipice. I feel like I am really on the edge. And I cannot handle another thing going wrong right now. Okay.
Okay, Tundra, I'm going to tell you something.
I need you to carry the weight for the team, okay? I need you to be strong.
Okay, wait, but what if I need
to... My sword is glowing.
Why?
I don't know, but I know it cannot be good.
Oh my god. Now there's another thing? Now the sword's glowing?
I'm telling you, I'm on a precipice.
Hey, you guys.
What?
You guys need to chill out, because if you guys both keep freaking out, I am going to absolutely lose my shit.
You're not allowed to freak out, Shaddy.
I am the only one freaking out.
I saw blood swirl around your hands, Shaddy.
Yeah, I touched the wall and it hurt bad.
I need you to keep it together.
From behind you, you hear, guys, I really don't want to put you
shut
out.
Shut up.
Shut up, Lucien.
Shut up.
No, you don't understand. I'm 100% going to die. I'm like 100% going to
just
die.
Just stay next to us. You're not going to die.
Yes, I'm going to die.
No one's going to die.
Yes, I'm going to die.
Whatever has happened is going to happen, so let's just accept it.
I'm like 100%. I'm like the number one most likely to die in this scenario.
Lucien, look me in the eyes.
The way you've said that hasn't filled me with much confidence, I'm going to be honest.
Okay. But I want you to know.
But I'm looking.
I'm going to do everything I can to make sure nothing bad happens to you.
But this feels like something bad's happening to me right now.
Look at him in his eyes.
Yeah, look at me in him's eyes. The only thing that's bad that's happened has happened to me. I touched the wall and it's really hot. Okay?
Yeah, you touched the wall.
Yeah, no, it's bad. Let's all just try to calm down. We all have to keep it together for each other, okay? We've gotten ourselves into something really freaking... I'll be honest. I'll tell you, spooky. Okay, so just like we all have to just...
Thank you for being the one who's brave enough to say that we're in a spooky place.
We just all have...
Thank you.
We're going to be okay, okay? We're going to be okay.
Okay, I just feel like...
Okay.
If like one more thing happens, you know?
Okay. Okay, fine.
I'm just going to sit down and probably cry.
That's we're what all thinking. On the precipice, man. We're all on the precipice.
I don't know if I'd say I'm in the precipice. I'd say I'm already in the hole, you know?
You keep that shit to yourself.
I need you to shoulder the weight of the whole party.
Wait, you were threatening to rip off my fingernails like a few hours ago.
Can Tundra look up and see if they're missing anything during this completely distracting fight?
As this conversation is happening, you realize that you've been brought out into a large antechamber, and the large figure has just stood there staring at the four. the four of you just sort of huddled in the entrance of this large antechamber, just like,
are you finished?
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
You're good. We're good.
Yeah, we're finished.
Excellent. When I say... that we have received a boon. Could you please step forward?
And you sort of look forward. You see that, like, there is a kind of platform that extends out.
It's not a precipice, is it? Are we literally... What?
Well, classic. Okay, thank you for literally bringing us to the precipice.
I promise this was planned. I promise this was planned.
No way, dog.
No.
I promise you this was planned. I promise. You'll see why this is planned in a second.
We were just talking.
I know, but you'll see why this was planned in a second. I promise.
Holly just whispers, oh my God.
There's a platform that seems to extend out. And then there is like a sort of earthen kind of ledge kind of that comes up like a low wall, essentially. And you watch as this figure steps, kind of strides confidently onto this platform. You now notice, now that you've kind of stopped talking, that there is a hum of voices and of noise. Behind you, couple of hundred vampires that were following you now kind of split either side of you, and they walk sort of down these ramps to the right and left of you and sort of around and out of sight. And you're kind of left on sort of this platform that the tunnel came into. And you see as this figure steps forward, kind of widens his arms and say, today. And as soon as he says today, like, this voice rings out over this precipice, like, as if it is being amplified by some sort of magical force.
Today, my friends, my children, is a good day, for we have received a mighty boon.
Do you step forward?
Oh, shit!
I said, we... have received, and I think the scythe arm kind of reaches back to you, Shadi, and sort of just like snags your clothes, like snags your shoulder and kind of draws you forward. As you step to the precipice of this platform, you look down and see what appears to be a boiling lake.
Oh, madness.
It is a boiling lake. And on it, there are multiple small kind of ships. Some of these ships look like they have been patched together out of a series of other ships. Some of them look like they're kind of built into the lake, like they've got like Venetian style kind of stilts and things that they have used to kind of be fixed in place. Others look like they're still able to move. It kind of looks like a yacht yard just filled with these boats, but all of kind of made up patchworked boats. And in the center, there is this huge kind of dreadnought-like ship that seems to be made up of various parts of other ships, like like some metal, some wood, and then literal like bones of like sky whales that are used for parts of like the bow, etc., of the ship and the mast. He sort of steps out, overlooks this, and you just see in all of these ships, there are just thousands of humanoids. Thousands and thousands of vampires.
I have known the dark of the deep, the silence behind screams, the taste of salt on split tongues. I have walked with my bones exposed to the sea, and the sea sang back. You look at me and see ruin, scars. But this,
and he sort of lifts up this giant scythed arm that now glows and hums with energy.
This is not ruin. This is revolution. I am not some skulking ghoul hiding from the sun or sermon. I am the wave breaker, the wind caller, the pirate king of the drowned flame, and I do not beg for freedom, I build it. The citadel shall rise, a floating empire of eternal night, a kingdom unshackled from graves and gutters, a haven where blood is not a secret but a celebration. Let the mortals rot in their silver cities. We will taste the stars. We will sail the void. We will dine on planets whose names we cannot yet pronounce. So, raise your sails, my children. Sharpen your teeth. Light the braziers. Because tonight, we drink deep from freedom's throat. And tomorrow, we set fire to the skies.
And the whole room erupts with cheer.
Tadra, we've made a huge mistake. Tadra.
Our entire group looks like we have a tension headache. Yeah. We're like, are you fucking serious?
Oh my god, you guys, this is so much worse than I could have thought.
We're gonna fully die.
You need to calm the fuck down. We can't all break out.
I thought this was like an eighth the size and not half as inspiring and scary as that guy was. I would die for that guy, and that terrifies me.
He is like the villain that other villains would be fucking terrified of. This is your villain's favorite villain.
He's the guy who walks into the room full of villains, kills all the villains, and becomes the villain.
Yes.
At a certain point in the beginning there, I literally thought I would kneel to him in front of everyone.
Yeah. And then when I start, and there's thousands of them.
And there's thousands of them. And if I can feel that way in a moment, and these people feel that way about everything, one man is 20 men. I think we need to get the fuck out of here.
They both look over to Shaddy, and Shaddy is weeping, but like stone, like stone-faced, standing there completely still.
He's so scared, like a little
just
kid.
Just weeping, yeah.
Oh, Shaddy.
Oh, God, Shaddy, it's fine. We're fine. We're fine.
I think you can just hear frantic footsteps running away. Lucien is nowhere to be seen. He's just fully run.
Oh my god. Okay, fine, whatever.
Oh, he's gonna die if he does that. There's no way he makes it out of here.
Oof.
Right, everybody take a deep breath. What do we do?
I mean, can I dive after Lucien?
He rolled pretty badly, so if you want to like try and catch him as he runs away, go for it.
Okay. Oh god, here we go. Not my best skill, athletics. I rolled a natural one.
Ew.
A natural one. You okay, here's what happened.
Oh, we are so toast.
So I imagine the way this works, the way you stepped forward, because this was a dramatic moment, so it has to be as dramatic as possible.
No.
I think that Tundra and Ollie stepped forward to this figure's left, and Lucien and Shaddy stepped to this figure's right. And I think that Lucien and Ollie, you were like next to this figure. He goes to run, and you immediately like kind of instinctively like put a hand out to try and like grab a hold of him, and you just fully just like bump into this guy. Like you just fully bump into like the speech ends, everyone's cheering, and you just fully like slam into him.
I hit him.
Yeah, you just bump into him with that nat one as he just looks down at you.
I turn to Lucien and go, hey man, you bumped into him.
Lucien's gone. You turn around and say, hey man, and then you both look around and Lucien's just not there.
Oh, Lucien's not there? Oh my god.
Oh no.
I fully bald-faced lie like, there was a guy here, he was just here, he bumped into you.
But I can you are pressed up so close to my person.
We were next to each other. I'm so sorry for what he did.
I accept your apology on his behalf.
I bow and move back as fast as I can. I do multiple bows.
The side hand kind of comes up and he rests it on your shoulder and kind of pulls you in closer and goes,
"Where are you going, my child? You need to come with me. You have one more thing that I must require of you, and then you shall be free to wander these catacombs for a time, and then we shall enact the plan."
I acquiesce and slowly scooch my booch back to parallel with the scythe and try
scooch
to...
Scooch my booch. Scooch my booch.
Very docile. I'll just move next to him. I'll go wherever he goes. I have no spells, guys.
I'm so it's okay. Yeah. We're all doing what we gotta do. Yeah.
As you walk following this figure, you're now kind of led into smaller, kind of more windy tunnels. And you can now start to see that structures and things have been built into the existing tunnels. And I don't think it takes a lot to realize that essentially what this place looks like it was an Andium mine, essentially. That there were veins of Andium running through the earth in this place, and they've now been like hollowed out, but leaving kind of like Andium on the outside to kind of maintain the structure of the actual tunnels themselves. To put it in perspective, it's like, it wouldn't even be like gold lined. Like the value of these tunnels, like the metal that's in these tunnels, is like in the trillions. Like that's how much like just metal there is, you know, extremely valuable metal there is down here. And he takes you through until eventually you kind of look through, there's like an open door, and you see a kind of empty circular chamber with all of these holes, kind of like almost like a grate on the floor, and two like sort of plinths, like chairs essentially, without backs in the center of this this circle. And he turns to you and says,
"I must keep up certain traditions, and whilst I realize you may not wish to enter or join the family just yet, I do, however, have to follow certain protocol. So one at a time, if you would not mind, just come and take a seat opposite me. Thank you."
What the fuck?
And he goes, kind of walks in, and sits down.
Shadi can't hide the, like, there's still just like sort of full force tears coming down his eyes, but he's like powering through it, like just like completely stone faced. And he kind of just, this is like sort of like he's feeling like one of those moments where he feels like he did something wrong, and he's like going to have a stern talking to from his dad. And he just kind of like walks in, just kind of like staring into the middle distance, and just sits down with tears just like flowing down his cheeks.
Aw, Shadi.
I think at this point you hear a little,
hello?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Ali.
Shut the fuck up, Robbie.
Listen, I know that you did not tell me to, and so I apologize for acting on initiative, but I had a little peeky peek inside this guy's brain when he started talking about this, because he was being super mysterious and weird about it, and I didn't like it, okay? For you.
Yep, that's a good call. I'm all for that.
Okay, I think he is going to try and probe inside of your brains to try and find something that he can use as leverage against you.
Oh, well, I'm fucked. Great.
He wants to take, like, happy thing or thing that you like, and then turn that into bad thing. So maybe just be careful about what happy thing you offer up.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. I'm going to do it. As Shadi walks in.
Yeah, because Shadi's obviously going first.
I'm going to put a hand on his shoulder as Rambi tells me that and say, "Hey, good luck, man." And I'm going to cast Protection from Evil and Good on him.
Nice. For a second, I thought you were going to say, "Good luck, man," and just push him in and be like, not tell him anything.
Yeah, well, and then I probably do give him a little pat-pat. So I'm going to make it so that any creatures will have disadvantage on attack rolls against Shadi, and they cannot possess or be charmed or frightened by them. So no charm, no fright, and they would have disadvantage on all attacks.
Okay. That's very, very good. That's very, very good indeed. Shadi, are you indeed going first?
I think I'm just kind of like zombied into it at this point.
So Shadi, you step forward into this chamber. You have to kind of step across this like great like gauze that's in the ground, like a drain. And you step across into this kind of more solid kind of stone area in the center. And I'm assuming you take a seat opposite this figure. As you take a seat opposite this figure, you suddenly feel these deep purple eyes kind of burrowing into yours. They seem to envelop you as the world around you goes dark. You can still see this figure sat in front of you, but you now find yourself in a sort of almost like a void of just darkness. And he says,
"Please, would you do me the honor of showing me something that brings you happiness?"
So what does Shadi see? What scene begins to paint itself in the darkness around Shadi?
Ooh, this is fun. I think Shadi is sort of like transported back to this sort of outdoor kind of fort that he had built. And he's like by himself, like in this like really cool fort that is like all of the furniture is made of like nature. He's made this like really cool, like big fort, like hidden in the woods somewhere by himself. In this world, he is like sort of sees himself as like the king of this little, his own little world.
I think as that, you kind of now find yourself like sitting on a raised area, like a raised kind of plinth with this big kind of elaborate like throne behind you. You can still see this strange tall figure kind of inside of this vision now, which is strange because this is a place that you've been to before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a place that you built as a child, and he obviously wasn't there. I'm sort of imagining there's like a thatched kind of door, which maybe has like some pretty like rough hinges that probably don't really work properly. And someone kind of goes to try and push the door properly, but the door just falls through completely. As one of your, I will say your eldest brother, kind of stoops down and walks in. What is the name of your eldest brother?
Yurnal. His name's Yurnal.
That's great.
Y-E-R-N-E-L. Yurnal Turlet.
Y-E-R-N-E-L. Yurnal.
Yes. That's a family name.
Of course.
That's great.
Yurnal Turlet.
It was my great-great-grandfather's name.
He fought in the war.
Yeah.
Colonel Yurnal.
Colonel Yurnal. That's incredible. Oh, fuck. That's amazing.
Oh, it's nothing.
Colonel Yurnal, that'll stay with me forever.
Yurnal Turlet walks into the room and sort of looks at you and is like,
"Hey, what is... This took me ages to find. You hit it well."
"Yeah, that was kind of the point, dude."
I just wanted to check in. I felt like you took the news back there pretty hard, and I just want to make sure that you don't, you feel okay. Like, it's not that mom and dad aren't, you know, sending you away. It's just like, you know, we all had to go away at different times, you know?
What do you mean we all had to go away? You, like, you're here.
Yeah, because I've been away. I've come back. You'll come back, man. Like, it's...
Yeah, but they didn't, like, tell me when I'd come back. They were just like, "You're going away. You're going to, like, you're going to build your own life out there by yourself," is what they said.
Hey, listen. They were very unspecific with you. I'll give you that, okay? What? That wasn't cool. And he sort of walks up to you, kind of comes up the stairs and just goes, "I know this is your space, and so I'm not going to, you know, like... stick around where I'm not invited, but I just want to let you know that you've always been a sick brother and I love you and that you're going to have a great time, okay?"
"Yeah, whatever."
"And, like, you can call me whenever and I'll be there, you know? It's, like, it's fine. Just..."
"Yeah, right. You won't be there. You said I could call you whenever all the time, and every time I've ever called you, you've been like, I'll get back to you. And then
yes, because, like, I was with my girlfriend, okay? Like, I was busy. Like, I had stuff to do, dude. You'll get it when you're older, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure, you're an old.
Don't, dude, just call me Yuh or Yearn or something. Don't call me Urinal. You know I hate being called Urinal. Don't do that.
Whatever, man. Yearny.
Dude, I was trying to be nice, okay? Don't be a dick. He kicks you in the shin.
Ow! What the
You're being a moody dick, okay? I'm trying to be nice, all right? Because mom and dad are assholes, and I'm just trying to look out for you, okay?
If you want to look out for me, like, I don't know, help me, help me. Don't just be like, have a good time, you know? Don't support them, you know? Don't tell them, yeah, it's a good idea to just ship him off and, like, have him go live in other places and have a whole different life, you know? What is it that they're even, like, scared of? Are they afraid I'm going to, like, say something stupid in front of, like, an important person?
Shads, like, dude, I told you. Mom and dad are assholes, okay? And I promise, I'm doing my own things, okay? I got stuff going on I can't tell you about. But I, trust me, dude. Like, one day mom or dad are gonna fucking realize, okay? They're gonna pay the price for this, you know, the way they treat us. So, you know, just don't worry about it, okay? I'm looking out for all of us in my own way. It's just, you gotta be delicate about this stuff sometimes, okay?
Okay.
So just chill, dude. Go have a fun time. Like, it's awesome. You're gonna take the family, you know, you're gonna take a card, which has got, like, unlimited money, and you're just gonna go and fucking do whatever you want. Like, it's sick, dude. Like, don't be upset about this. Be excited. You don't have dad just, like, sitting there looking over the newspaper at you every morning and, like, wondering why you're not better. Okay?
Yeah. Just, you know, I guess I can look at it as, like, a chance to, like, go out there and, like, be my own man.
Find some friends, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, fill this place. Make this place, but for your own. You know, you probably have enough money on your card right now to go to, like, Sim or Anvil and just fucking buy a fort. Like, an actual fort like this. You could just buy one and be, like, a king or whatever, you know?
That sounds kind of sick.
And then you could have, like, a football team or, you know, something, you know, and just do whatever you know?
I could have a football team?
Yeah, why not? Why not, dude? You're not good enough to play.
Just buy a football team? Yeah.
Just own one, I guess. That's what most, you know, rich assholes who didn't make it.
That is what a lot of rich guys' kids do.
Yeah, like, we don't have much discernible talent. That's been stripped out of us by our parents.
Yeah, I'll just pay talented people to do stuff and then take credit for it.
And live vicariously through them. That's what I'm talking about, dude. How sick.
Yeah.
Okay, dude, listen, this place is damp and it's hurting my chest, so I'm gonna leave, but really appreciate this. And like I said, you're cool, okay? Don't listen to dad. Certainly don't listen to mom. Just be you, okay? And be chill.
All right. Thanks.
Urinal, out! And he leaves.
Thought he didn't like urinal.
I like it sometimes. Shut up! He says, because obviously it's just the other side of some sticks. So, like, he definitely... we watch as this memory begins to fade. And I think in that moment, there's like a... Your attention is suddenly brought back to this large, imposing figure who was in that memory the whole time. As the room now comes back to normal, and he just sort of leans down, sort of clasps your hand and goes, "Yes, I get it now. You shall make a fine addition to the Citadel.
Oh, God.
This place is a home for lost souls like you. And there will be no limit to the greatness that you can achieve in the Citadel."
Cool, cool. Tears still. Cool.
If you want to just make your way, he sort of points to the opposite side of the room. There's like another door which leads like out.
Get right. Don't go. Not the way I came in.
No. If you would just head through there.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Next.
Want to rock, paper, scissors?
Okay. Fuck.
Tundra just rolls her eyes and then she goes.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Tundra. Thank you. Oh, that's so cool of you. Thank you. That's awesome of you.
So, Tundra, you step forward, sit down on this little plinth area, and this figure
I'm not being protected at all, though.
Clearly, no.
I do not have any more spell slots for you.
No, I'm just making sure.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. This episode has been brought to you by 12 Sided Studios. 12 Sided Studios, executive producer Chad Pytel, producer Jess Jewell, social media support by Ellie Crook, production support by Amber Forshaw, and, of course, the all-important audio editor, Oliver Moore. Thank you so much for checking this out. If you want to find out more about what 12 Sided Studios is up to, please go to the 12 Sided Studios Patreon, where you can get all the down low on things that we have, including a brand new TTRPG where you can get a free quick start guide for right now available on that Patreon. This episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast has featured Erin Keefe, John Mackey, George Primavera, and of course, me. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.